And so he ends that relationship and frees. I mean, under the law, they would have been free to remarry because the person would have been dead. And so he gives that grace. And I believe, I know this is, there's other views, and I don't mean any disrespect to them, but I believe that's why he says here, except for sexual immorality. I think it's logical. Okay, the other exception in which divorce and remarriage is allowed, I believe, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 to 16. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, or writing actually. It's John speaking. He says, "Now to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried." Okay, let me just stop for just a second. I'm going to pause a couple of times in here. If she does depart, let her remain unmarried. Is she married or unmarried? Huh? Once she departs, let her remain what? Unmarried. So is she still married? Okay, so departing there is not talking about separation. It's talking about divorce. Because at that point, he's saying let her remain unmarried. Separation can be very helpful in order to isolate the issue and allow people to work at resolving those things before coming back together and getting drowned in the emotion. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, it's talking about two Christian people being married. If she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say. I'm going to pause again. Sorry, this is like the bus stop, you know, on the Amtrak. Okay. I, not the Lord. What he's saying there, he's not saying this is my opinion, and you know, you can take this or leave it because really it's not inspired, and you know, you can't say, well, that's not to say, okay, this was just Paul, so it's not the inspired word of God. What we've got here, when he said, the Lord, not I, but the Lord. He was quoting there from the Gospels, quoting things that Jesus had actually said. And he's saying, this isn't what I'm saying. I'm quoting here from the Lord. This is in the Gospels. It's in Scripture already. And then when he says, but to the rest, I, not the Lord, it doesn't mean he is not being inspired by the Holy Spirit at that moment and being breathed out and writing the literal Word of God. What he's saying, I'm not quoting Jesus per se on this. You're not going to find what I'm about to say in the Gospel per se. Nevertheless, this is still the inspired word of God, so don't let that throw you, okay? Anyway, back on the bus. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And if a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. The unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. Okay, so let's say you have two unbelievers married to each other. I know it's a stretch to try to imagine in your mind. Yeah, they're not living together. You have two unbelievers married to each other. One gets saved, and the other one gets confused, bewildered. What the heck happened to them? Yeah. I mean, seriously, doesn't that happen sometimes? You know, one gets saved and the other gets, like, what happened? As long as the unbeliever is willing to say, okay, this is a little weird, but I'm game. What the heck? Let's go for this. The Lord is saying, don't divorce them. Let them stay. If they're willing to stay, if they're willing to hang, let them hang. Praise God. Who knows what the future holds? Okay? In fact, he says, it goes even farther. He says they're sanctified. It doesn't mean they're saved. In fact, they will actually, by staying in the house with the believing spouse, they will actually enjoy the benefits of God's favor on that house. As God blesses that household for the sake of the believer, the unbeliever living under that roof is going to prosper because of that. They will be blessed. You have that effect when you go. If you're a believer, you're walking in the grace and the favor of God. His anointing, His blessing is on you, and He is enriching your life. The people you hang with are going to be blessed as a result, including your unbelieving spouse, if that's the case, including your children, if that's the case. Doesn't mean they're saved, but they are set apart for God. They enjoy the blessings of the favor on your life as a result. Now, on the other hand, you get saved, the other person gets weird, and the unbelieving spouse says, hey, I'm sorry. I've had enough of this Jesus nonsense. I can't hang with this. You're too sweet. You're too nice. You're too stable. I liked you better when you used to be mean and throwing up and vomiting and partying, and we would have some really cool knockdown, throwdown fights. I liked you better when you were a little loosened up and, you know, you a little saltier in your speech, and you laughed at my jokes instead of walking out of the room. I liked it better when there was tension in the house. It made life exciting. I'm sorry, it's dull now, it's boring. I don't know about all this religious, this Jesus stuff. I'm out of here. Have a nice life. I don't get it, but you know it happens. And so they walk out, they leave, they file for divorce. You don't have to fight that. You don't have to grab them by the ankles and drag them back into the house bodily and say, no, you're not going. You don't have to lose sleep at night over whether they're trying to consign you to some destiny of being alone and forgotten and abandoned in life. You don't have to fight that. God has not called us to that. He's called us to peace. Paul says here that a believer, in that situation, Paul says a believer, a brother or a sister, is not under bondage, okay? So he means if he's not under bondage, then apparently he implies, therefore, that he is free. Amen? So if he's not under bondage, if he is therefore free, what's he free to do? I think that it implies very strongly that he's referring to remarriage there. He's not under bondage, so he is therefore free in that situation to remarry, as long as it's in the Lord. He shouldn't go hook up and be unequally yoked with a non-believer. It should be with someone who is therefore a Christian, a born-again Christian, so they're not unequally yoked. Now, guys, I could spend hours and hours arguing the minute points and counterpoints of this whole thing. And I hope I've not offended anybody by explaining this position and putting that forth as what I believe to be the Word of God on that. My heart's desire is that in sharing with you today, that through this, giving you more than information, through this, I hope, my heart's desire is that you see that God's heart is tender, that He is gracious and full of mercy, full of compassion, that He's not standing here waiting to beat you upside the head because you're trying to sort through these issues that are at the heart that just staggering, that rock your world because you're trying to sort it out and your heart is entangled in all of these things and you wish that you could find a sense of reference, a sense of peace, a place to stand where your feet are on solid ground because you want with all of your being to be pleasing to God and to do the right thing by Him, but your heart has been ripped asunder and you're bleeding on the inside. And if you're in that position, I want you to know that God is gracious and full of mercy. And He wants to minister through this truth, through His Spirit. He wants to minister grace to you. And know, He wants you to know He's not standing over you waiting to crush your skull if you make a misstep. He's come alongside. And He wants to put His arms around you and hold you to His heart and let you feel His love and mercy and compassion for you. And He wants to walk you one step at a time through these very difficult, challenging situations. You are not alone. You're not alone in this. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. If your heart is broken and you desperately want to do the right thing, know this. He is there. And He will walk you through. And you don't have to walk on eggshells. And you don't have to be living in shame because of the anger that sometimes comes up, or the regret or the disappointment. God wants to help you to carry those things. And He wants to infuse His strength in you so that you can sort those things out. He knows how hard it is. Do you know God has been through divorce Himself? He divorced His wife Israel, gave her a certificate. He knows. He knows. He understands. But if He's giving you boundaries, if He's giving you direction, if He said, this is the way, walk in it, it's not because He's a legalist, it's because He's a lover. It's because He sees the pain. He understands more than you can imagine how much that hurts, and He doesn't want that to hurt anymore. He doesn't want to take what's broke, lame, and make it completely broken. He wants healing to take place. And so He gives us these things, and He offers us His mercy. And He says, Jesus said, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you what? I'll give you rest.